Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek for 50th and is the Greek name for the Jewish festival of weeks, known as Shavuot in Hebrew, which takes place 7 weeks or 50 days after Passover. Shavuot was originally a harvest festival and over time became a commemoration of the giving of the Torah, God's law, to Moses and the Jewish people. So in today's reading from the book of Acts, the disciples, along with all of the other Jews in Jerusalem, are celebrating the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Christians used that same Greek word, Pentecost, 50th, to name the feast the church celebrates today and every year on the 50th day after Easter, a day when we commemorate the Holy Spirit coming to the disciples of Jesus in a very specific way, as told to us in this morning's reading. Christianity's borrowing or appropriating names or days of festivals from other religions has been a common practice throughout history, and so today we name the importance of the Jewish Pentecost, or Shavuot, and its distinction from the Christian Pentecost we are celebrating here in the church. Both are very important holy days. Another thing to name this morning is that Pentecost is not by any means the first appearance of the Holy Spirit in the Bible or in the life of God's people. The Holy Spirit has always been around and moving among us since the very beginning of time, as the very first lines of the very first book of the Bible tell us. In most English translations, those first lines in Genesis say that the Spirit of God swept or hovered over the face of the waters. But the verb in Hebrew that so often gets translated as swept or hovered is actually closest to the word brooded in English. The same verb used to describe what a mother bird does to her eggs and her chicks. In our ancient biblical story of creation, the Holy Spirit broods over the waters of creation. So the Spirit doesn't just suddenly appear here in Pentecost. She's been with us, like God and Christ, from time immemorial. But today, on the Feast of Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming among Jesus' disciples in a specific way. Again, sweeping as wind, a rush of violent wind that fills the whole house, a wind that hovers and broods over the disciples and fills them, compelling them to speak in other languages, languages they do not know, about God's deeds of power. Let's notice here the connection between wind and breath and speech. We need air, we need breath to speak. The Holy Spirit arrives as wind and fills the disciples with air, with breath, and uses them to speak so the others around them can hear and understand about the power of God in the world. The Holy Spirit acts on Pentecost through human communication, through the act of speaking and translating, which in turn invites an act of hearing and of listening. Others who are in Jerusalem from around the world are able to hear and understand what the disciples are saying. Some are dismissive and think the disciples must be drunk, and others are amazed and gather around to hear more, asking the question, what does this mean? What does this mean? The Christian Feast of Pentecost is often described as the birthday of the church. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit broods over the disciples and births the church through human communication. What does it mean that the role of human communication, of speaking and listening, and all of the other ways that we communicate as humans, because we acknowledge that not all of us can speak or hear, what does it mean that this is central to the birth of Christian community? The church's birth in human communication is tied to Jesus' own ministry of communication, his teaching, his telling of stories, and of being among and listening to the people around him. As Jesus says himself several times in the Gospels, "Let anyone with ears listen." Preaching flows out of this tradition of speaking and listening. So do the practices of testimony and evangelism, the act of sharing with one another the stories of our faith journeys and bearing witness to the ways the Holy Spirit has been and is active in our lives. And our prayer and worship also flow out of a practice of stewardship of words, discerning when and how we choose to speak with God in our prayer, and when and how we choose to be silent and listen for God in our prayer. The Spirit's use of the power of human communication on Pentecost, it feels particularly important for us to consider today, when communication can feel very difficult, especially across difference, whether it's a difference of politics or race or culture or religion or socioeconomic status or gender or sexuality. You know that old saying, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me." That's false. Words, or a lack of words, do hurt. A breakdown or inability to communicate can lead to estrangement from one another, and it can lead to war and violence and death. A failure to speak and listen carefully, a failure to make space for the Holy Spirit to move through and breathe into our communication, can result in the kind of spread of damaging misinformation that has become rampant on social media. And a failure to listen to and honor all voices, all languages, and thus all people, distorts our sense of history and our place in it, and it distorts the truth that all of us are God's beloved children, the truth that the Holy Spirit breathes and speaks through each one of us. Coming back to that great question from our reading, what does this mean? What does Pentecost mean for us today in a world where human sinfulness so often distorts our communication? Speaking, having a voice, and being heard is connected to having power. So some good follow-up Pentecost questions we might ask are: who are the voices who have historically received and continue to receive the most airtime and therefore the most power in this country? Who are the voices who have historically been silenced or ignored? How has this imbalance of communication and power distorted our conversations and our ability not only to fully honor the beauty and diversity of our human experience, but also to begin to address historical and present day injustices? When the people of Jerusalem hear the disciples speaking in other languages and they gather around, one of the questions they ask is, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" They're surprised that Galileans can speak in other languages because the people of Galilee were considered poor and uneducated, on the margins of society, holding very little power. It is telling that Jesus was a Galilean, and that he chose Galileans, people from outside of the normative power structures of his day, to testify about God's power in the world. When people on the so-called margins of society use their voices, use words and communication in ways that cannot be controlled or ignored by established power structures, movements happen. Poets and artists know the power of speaking and listening. Mary Black, a First Nations Ojibwe artist, went viral on the internet in 2016 with her spoken word poem, Quiet. Her searing refusal to be silent any longer about the historical and present day abuses of her people by white settlers. A note, if you do look up her poem, that Mary Black directly addresses sexual violence and suicide in it. Activists know the power of speaking and listening. Voice, words, silence, communication, and power were intimately intertwined in the civil rights movement here in the United States. Today, Greta Thunberg, a teenage girl with Asperger's syndrome, has used her voice around the world to push climate justice forward by leaps and bounds. And communication, voice, and power are crucial in today's movement for Black lives, especially the voices of Black women, like the scholars, artists, and educators who founded the movement, Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi. God knows the power of speaking and listening. In God speaking through the prophets, through the incarnation of Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, God uses human communication again and again to show us that the sinful power structures around us are not the way. That God's way is one of justice and love for all of God's creation. The Holy Spirit's wild work on Pentecost reminds us that the church is not meant to be an institution that upholds damaging structures, preserving power for a privileged few. No. Pentecost shows that the church, from its very founding, is a radical, spirit-centered movement that prays and works for the death of sinful power structures and the new resurrection life that comes when the voices and stories and lives of all of God's beloved children are lifted up and honored. Here at Grace Church and in many Episcopal churches, we end our Eucharistic readings by saying, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people." As we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, may we continue to hear and to listen as a church for what the Spirit is saying in and through us and in and through all of God's people. Thanks be to God.